Hey, everybody, welcome to another edition of Spits and Suds. Thank you guys so much for hanging with us this off season. It has been a great ride, and it's because of you. And we're making our way toward our August 11th celebration of hockey in DFW. And I'll talk to Sean about that in just a moment. Sean Shapiro will join us. He's been so awesome this off season. We've had him a couple times each week, and the information is flowing. Got a good one for you today. I like to say one of the fastest 30 minutes in podcasting, so we'll get to it as soon as we talk about the on-time experts. My washing machine works perfect. I did a load of laundry last night. My shower works perfect in the spare bedroom. Everything's working perfect for my guests that are arriving in October because I made the call to the on-time experts, and it was a deep clog, and I feared the worst. Maybe it was a tree branch that got on my pipes, but the on-time expert said, hang on, let's do an investigation first before we do anything, and they fixed it all for a low price. In fact, that price was that price that you can get today and unclog those drains and speed them up with that $99 first-time customer first floor drain cleaning special. I took advantage, and I am excited. And they also explained to me how all the drains in your house work. It was really, really interesting. And they also have that $59 first-time customer HVAC complete cleaning. Get rid of that dust. Get rid of that grime. They'll also recommend the best air filter for you. It's an education lesson. It could take up to 2 hours. Why? Because they're thoroughly going to gut your AC system. High efficiency. You know what it's like outside. It has officially just become an oven here in DFW. Well, you can keep that power bill down because you don't want your AC running all the time. And if it's not high efficient, it is going to run more. So make sure you call the on-time experts. I also did that same day service guaranteed. And you know what? It was guaranteed and it happened. The technician was amazing. The on-time experts at theontimeexperts.com, the official HVAC and plumbing sponsor right here of Spits and Suds. They're going to be a part of the August 11th event. They said, how can we be involved? Let's give away Stars tickets. We'll be out there in person. That's the kind of people the on-time experts are. So if you have anything going on, think of the on-time experts at theontimeexperts.com. Also, the official sponsor of the Dallas Stars. We are so lucky to have on Sean Shapiro. You can support Sean with his Shap Shot Substack. He also writes and participates for Elite Prospects, one of my favorite websites, as well as D Magazine. His YouTube channel with a new episode dropping this week is called Algorithmically Incorrect with StarsThoughts.com and NHL.com reporter Robert Tiffin. Congratulations to Robert on that. He is all over the place, and we're so fortunate that he sticks with us at Spits and Suds. How are you today, Sean?
I'm doing really good, Gavin. It's happy to be here on a Tuesday afternoon, and as we said, looking forward to the event coming up in a couple weeks here, and it's interesting time in July to be talking because obviously it's Saturday. It's arbitration week.
Yeah.
So there's definitely a lot of times in July there. It's been. I know there people would like to see more movement in things like this, but at least there's been something to keep the intrigue up, I guess.
So. Absolutely. No, it's been a great hockey silly season. Just quickly on that August 11th, before we get into Jason Robertson, because I have an interesting question to throw at Sean. August 11th, Boomer Jacks, Fairview Allen. Hopefully you don't get sick of me talking about this. A completely free event, cocktail hour, 6 to 7, where you get to hang with Sean Shapiro, Robert Tiffin, Leah Simakopoulos, and more. I was texting back and forth with Brad Lukowich, 2-time Stanley Cup champion. He said, Gavin, if I'm not coaching that day, count me in on the podcast. Love that. Texting our friend Cross Hannes, he said, if I'm in town, I'm there. So it's going to be people swinging by, and you have to be a part of it. It's a celebration of DFW hockey at Boomer Jacks, August 11th. And on top of that, on top of Leah, Sean, Robert, our special guests that are going to be stopping by, Dallas Stars tickets giveaways, courtesy of the On Time Experts. Sean contacted Elite Prospects. They said, we're going to give you some gear to give away so you can walk away with some Elite Prospects merchandise. We have Spits and Suds collared shirts. We have Spits and Suds t-shirts. We have all kinds of giveaways to thank you guys for being such awesome DFW hockey fans and fans of Spits and Suds. So you get to hang with people in person, take pictures, talk, ask all the inside information you want. We're excited about that on August 11th. Okay, so here's my question, Sean, because inevitably I think they're waiting to Saturday with Jason Robertson, but I was wondering, is there a benefit at this point, just a few days away, for the Stars to say, okay, we'll go 1 year with you, Jason Robertson, we'll avoid arbitration, and here's the number. And maybe possibly, I don't think they would, but maybe possibly save $500,000 to $1 million.
That's a good question, because I'm fascinated where this arbiter is gonna rule on this, right? I also think it's one of those where the Stars don't want to go, and it's not how you win your case and all of that stuff. So, but I look at the Stars' cap sheet and their cap ledger, and as I assume in my head that we're looking at probably a $12 to $12.5 million 1 year deal. If you remove Radek Fox's contract, you have $12.6 million in cap space right now. So it's kind of this. There's this level for me that is very interesting, kind of trying to monitor all this, because I think the Stars are fully have a number in mind, and they have the levers all set up for it. And barring some real nastiness in the thing, which I don't really think there's much there that can sour it more than they've had before. I think this at the end of the day, this is a business for both sides. So I just don't think we could see something done before Saturday. I just don't think it's realistic once it's gone this far, if that makes sense here.
No, it does. I guess the question, what is the deadline? Is it the start of the regular season that you have to be cap compliant?
So you have to be cap compliant on opening night. There's a percentage of the cap you can go over during the off season. So there's a couple, I don't have that exact date, but basically you have to submit a cap compliant roster on September 20th. 8th, 29th, whatever it is, and then you can move some other things around, but that's when it comes into play. You can go into training camp over the salary cap a bit, and so you have some time to figure that. Obviously you want to figure it out sooner than later, but it's not like say Jason Robertson was awarded $13 million, whatever, hypothetically speaking. It's not like Jim Nill's being told, well, you have 12 hours to clear that space. It's not like that. They'll have time to make those kind of, to figure all of that out.
So I sometimes ask questions on this program that may seem silly to some, but I think it's to others like, wow, that's an interesting question. Does Jason Robertson need to be present?
Typically they are. Yeah. Typically the player is present for arbitration. Yes.
Okay. Is it done in one room, or are we talking Zoom, or
from my understanding, it will be in person.
Okay.
And they are typically done. The meetings have typically been done in Toronto or New York, because this is also an NHLPA / NHL thing too. So it's that's from my, I should double check to see whether it's, I believe they're all in Toronto. But I will have to double check that. I believe they're still all done in Toronto each year.
Well, I was also thinking it needs to, I'm guessing it's like a trial, not that this one's going to be too contentious, but I'm thinking that Robertson's camp probably sits him down and says, no matter what, Jason, just don't show reaction. Just nod your head and, you know, just kind of sit there and we got it. And, you know, we'll do our case. You have an amazing case. And for those that don't know, Sean, the Stars cannot bring up their cap constraints. And I believe they also cannot bring up the current restricted free agents that have signed, right? They can't take that into consideration.
Correct. They cannot. And the whole thing with when it comes to the Stars' current cap constraints and everything like that, because I know some people were like, well, why would the arbitrator be allowed to, the arbiter be allowed to give out an award larger than the Stars have cap space for? It's not Jason Robertson or the arbiter's job to make sure to make sure the Stars spent responsibly. So it's
the, yeah, something that we brought up on the podcast that I don't know, you know, I haven't heard anything, and I don't know if you have, but it does seem, I don't know why, it just keeps popping in my mind that maybe Jason Robertson and his camp are saying to themselves, let's take the 1 year in Dallas and let's bet on ourselves. But the thought being, let's stay in Dallas or try to get a long-term deal in Dallas because now I have trade protection. Whereas if I sign prior to this, I do not have trade protection.
So that is a reality. If Jim Nill was a bit more cut, I mean, and he doesn't have trade protection. Like, let's put it back that way.
Right.
He can't have trade protection this season.
Yes.
Yeah, he's an RFA. So even if he was to sign the 1 year deal, I mean, the whole trade protection thought is he could sign if he signed an 8 year deal, he can't get trade protection in year one. And then the Stars, in theory, could trade him in year one before the trade protection kicks in for year two of the deal. Yeah. And that seems highly unfeasible to me, honestly. I think if the Stars are going to sign Jason Robertson to an 8 year deal, they're not going to move on from him. So I get that from a cutthroat, find the way around things reality, where technically that's probably, it is a door that could be opened. I don't think it's a door Jim Nill would be willing to open. Now, if Jason Robertson gets a 1 year, he will get a 1 year, he'll play on a 1 year contract this year is my assumption. He does become a fascinating trade deadline piece because the two camps come back together and throughout the season and they try to figure out what this is all going to look like. And if you reach January 1st, February 1st, and it looks like you have such an impasse in your valuation and your money, all of a sudden, does Jason Robertson become a in-season trade away? That's another possibility. But then Jason still has his control over his long-term future because he'll be a UFA. So I think the reality is that Jason Robertson has accepted that he has – I believe Jason Robertson has accepted that he will play in Dallas this season. And he wants long-term security after that, but there's definitely openings for what that security could look like and where it could be. And he's keeping those options open through this arbitration case by when he filed and everything like that.
One of the things that I find fascinating, I don't know if you saw, there is a podcaster named Mike Bartner, and the podcast is In the Box. And he puts out, and the reason I mention Mike is because he put some work into this, and it's, you know, it's gotten a lot of response on Twitter/X, my top 50 players. And I find that fascinating. There are some Stars on the 50 list. Miro Heiskanen is the top Dallas Star at number 17. Then you have 21st, Mikko Rantanen, 22nd, Jason Robertson. Unfortunately, Sean, that's where it ends. And missing in many people, Stars fans and other fans wondered about Wyatt Johnston. And I wanted to get your thoughts. Is Wyatt Johnston, has he reached the top 50 plateau? And if you want, I'll throw some names like Dylan Larkin was number 50, Josh Morrissey 49, Martin Natchez 48. I mean, like Cole Caulfield, who had an amazing year, was 46th.
Yeah. I'm just thinking about this right now. That's the, like,
it really is interesting because it's not like I'm looking at his list and saying like Leo Carlson's at 35. I mean, I think Wyatt Johnson could have been on the list, but it's not like every name I'm looking at, I'm like, wow, you know? So it really, it does show the league is in great shape right now.
It's a really good question. Cause I'm going through this list in my head right now. And the whole, if I'd have to go through and make the list myself. Cause like,
yeah,
if you were to go and do like, would it, like, that's a really good question here, because I don't, it's easy for people to dunk on someone. It's easy for people to go and say, hey, oh my God, how did you not have him on the list and everything like that? And I guess the, this is a fair question, because I was out of curiosity on something. I just looked up here, and I disagree with a bit of this list, but from my understanding of, if you go and I know video game rankings aren't the best thing in the world, but I was curious to try to find another data point
analytics
of like how people are ranked and everything like that, and that is from, it looks like Wyatt Johnston is in that, Wyatt Johnston is outside the top 100 players in the league.
Wow.
According to that, he's got a, now I don't know exactly how they figure out the video game ratings. He's rated in 86, and that's, they have Matt Duchesne is a higher rating than him. So I would disagree that, for example, just using that as a math, but I want to go this, let me take it this way on this. It's hard for me to say, is Wyatt Johnston a top 50 player in the NHL right now? Because there's, I think a lot of these individual lists and biases, and I've learned a lot of this from the scouting world, working with a lot of the people over at EP in the scouting world. There are players that, when there are players in your stratosphere all the time, you either give them too much love or too much hate one way or the other. I don't think you can, and it's very hard to make that list. And so, like for example, I think there's a lot of flaws that Stars fans find in, there's flaws Stars fans find in their own players that no one else finds, right? And it's kind of almost like a funny like fandom thing, Gavin, where it's like, hey, we can rip on our guy, but no one else can, right? Like it's kind of a, like, that's
so
the
true, so true.
And so I kind of go from this level of it. Maybe I could take a pen and paper and do my own list and see where I would have Wyatt Johnston. The other key question, Gavin, and I haven't seen this list, so I don't know what the setup is. Is this a top 50 of I'm taking them to build around for a franchise right now, or is this in a vacuum where it's top 50 best players, right? Because, like, for example, with all due respect, you're like, okay, Sidney Crosby is near the end of his career and everything like that. Sidney Crosby is a better player than Wyatt Johnston. But if I'm giving you, how do you want to build your franchise for the next 5 years? You're taking Wyatt Johnston over Sidney Crosby because of the age and the cost and the window and everything like that. So those lists are always an interesting element as well. So not knowing exactly the criteria that went into it, it's hard for me to say that, but it's also the league is by being and the Stars had what, three players in the top 50, you said?
Yeah. Miro, Robertson, and Miko okay. Rantanen at 21st, Robertson at 22nd. What's fascinating is Miko Rantanen, a lot of people think he's a top 10 player prior to last year. And this one, you know, I mean, it's everyone's opinion has 21, but then I look at this same list and it has Alexander Barkov at number 9 and he wasn't available last year.
Who would be your, let's play this out right now. Let's just,
all right.
Let's go right now. If you were quick off the rip, who are your top 10 players in the NHL right now? If, okay. Let's go.
I have to go in order or can I just throw 10?
Just give me your, okay. Give me your top 10 and we can go,
and we can, before
before we establish this, do you want to include goalies within this conversation?
Ooh. Let's just go forward and defenseman, I guess.
Okay, cool. That's okay. Cool.
Yeah. Makes it easier. And then we'll do goalies another time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just going to throw them because of quick. I'm not doing these based on like ranking. Yeah. I'm going to go McDavid, Nathan MacKinnon. I'm going to go Nikita Kucherov. I am going to go Cale Makar. I know he's up there, but I am going to go Sidney Crosby. I'm going to throw Leon Draisaitl in there. I'm going to throw David Pastrnak in there from the Boston Bruins. Oh man, Jack Eichel's a tough one. I'll go Eichel. I'll go. Did I mention Werenski yet? I don't.
You did not. No.
I'll mention Werenski. Stars fans, don't get mad at me. I will say Moritz Seider. I really, really like. He might not be there yet. I will say Macklin Celebrini. Boy, this is a fun exercise on the fly. People are going to say no. I'm going to say Tim Stützle from Ottawa. I know that's a, but how many do I got? I think I'm pretty close.
I think you're close. I wasn't, unfortunately, I was starting to build my own list, go over my own list.
Wait, I mean, your example is like so cool. Like, yeah. I mean, because it's like I'm throwing out names that like Tim Stützle on this list was 37th. I love the guy. I think he's terrific. And I think he's just going to have, I think people are going to say, okay, Brady Tkachuk, but wow, who's this Stützle guy? I think this is his coming out party.
Yeah. And like, if you ask me to go through and I'm just thinking, okay, let's go. Like my top, like I start going through, it's probably we're probably going McDavid, MacKinnon, Draisaitl, Kucherov, Quinn Hughes.
Oh, good one. Good one.
Makar.
Yep.
Barkov, Crosby, Pastrnak, and then probably a debate between. So those are 9. And then for my 10, your debate is between Eichel, Matthews, and Kaprizov.
Yeah.
And so like, that's kind of, for me, like,
great,
and then
list.
I start going through that list and I start to think about it and you're like, all right, where do people fall one way or the other? Like, I think Mikko Rantanen is in a top 15 player in the league in that spot. I think Jason Robertson is in that conversation as a top 15 player in the league. But, that's kind of a point that goes down this whole, like, ranking players and everything like that. And it's also why, personally, I'm not a big fan. That's why I don't go and do my own, hey, here's Sean's list of his top 50, because I have my own inherent biases. I think there's certain players that are completely overrated and completely underrated too. So it's an interesting conversation starter here, but maybe it's I don't know. Maybe we can have a deeper talk about this with some
people
in person next month too.
Yeah. And I think, you know, disclaimer, Stars fans, we put this together in 5 minutes. It's not like we prepped for this. Yeah. So when you say like, oh, your list is wrong, I get it. I was going off the top of my head. I do like Sean's list a lot. Gregory Finley chimes in and says, these are the top 10 fantasy hockey players for this upcoming year, which is interesting. Connor McDavid, Nathan MacKinnon, Kucherov, Macklin, Celebrini, Dreisaitl, Pastrnak, Kaprizov, Makar, Jason Robertson, and Matt Boldy. So that's fascinating in itself. All right, let's end with this because a lot of deep dive research, trust me, as for someone who lived in Vegas for 4.5 years, when money's on the line, these analytics are important.
Real quick, I want to go down this thought one more time because you've got me. Top 6D in the league. Let's go. I'm just thinking position wise now because
Sean does not allow me to prep for these things. Okay.
Yes. No. I'm wondering. I'm thinking myself. So I have my six in my head right now, and so that is I'm now curious. I have my six established. So I will not change. I will let you. I want to hear yours. I'm curious now.
All right. I am not. Because of the quickness of this, I'm writing them down and I can't go in order that quick. Three of which are Zach Werenski, Cale Makar, who I'd put over Werenski, and Quinn Hughes. So those are three.
I think that's a fair top three. I don't think anyone's pushing back on that at all.
Yeah. I'm going to go Cider in my top. So that's four for me. Here's what I'm, are they ready? Is Schaefer ready? Is Lane Hudson ready? Those are the tough questions. Okay. I got four. Does Victor Hedman count?
He's a great question. Cause like, I think he's the one who for me has been historically speaking has been on this list, but he is bumped for my top six. He's still in that conversation, but he is no longer in the top six for me.
Okay, so I have Werenski, Makar, Hughes, Cider.
To give you an idea, just both he and Roman Josi, for example, for years for me, I've been a big Roman Josi fan. For years, he and Roman Josi too would have been locks in the top six, and now I feel there's a couple that I think that have surpassed those guys. Those guys are still top 10 defensemen in the world, but I think there's a couple guys that have surpassed them into this top six conversation.
All right. Oh man, I need one more. I'm going through the divisions thinking of this. Okay. Here's my five. Werenski, Makar, Hughes, Cider, Dahlin in no particular order. I'm missing one and it's too early, but I'm debating between Matthew Schaefer of the Islanders, Lane Hudson. I mean, they've been game changers, but they're so young. So
yeah, I've got so for me, and I think Schaefer I think will be there very soon. Hudson to me, I like Hudson a lot. I wonder for me, Hudson I think is always gonna be I think the ceiling for Hudson is more of top 15 overall D in the league. He probably will win a Norris because of the points and where he plays in Montreal, but I think pure value. He's probably top 15. For me, going right now, tough list to make would be Hughes, Makar, Werenski, Dahlin, Cider. And right now it's a really tight last spot between Miro and Jacob Slavin.
Okay.
And that's kind of where my head is on that as well. So it's a tight list, but guess the moral of the story we're going through here is when you're going through and ranking players and everything like that, it is.
Yeah.
It's getting into the weeds can be tough here.
It is. Evan Bouchard's another one that's interesting. Yeah. He would just maybe be outside my top six, but he'd be, you know, seventh or eighth. So
he's a good player. I think he's a better player when he's a complimentary piece than a point. So
absolutely. I do love him on the power play with that slap shot.
Yes.
Okay. So BetOnline came up with their points per year in the differential. And I found this really interesting to end with, Sean. So the teams, according to BetOnline, that improved their point totals for this upcoming season the most: Sharks plus 23 points, Penguins plus 13, Sabres plus 12, Ducks and Blackhawks plus 11. Decreased the most: Canucks minus 16, Winnipeg Jets minus 9, Rangers Blues minus 8, and the Flames minus 5. If you are just going by this, for the Central Division, let's start with our Dallas Stars. Last year, 103.5 points. This year, that's what they started with as far as BetOnline. This year, a 100.5. That's a minus 3. You're saying, Gavin, what's this 0.5 thing? It's a tricky thing that Vegas and bettors do so that they can even it out just a little bit so money lines go on both. The Colorado Avalanche,
can we go back real quick? What was Vancouver's minus now?
Minus 16.
They were at 58 last year.
Let's see.
So no, but seriously, this is not a betting for me. There's no gambling advice here, but so they were at 58 points last year.
Okay.
If you can find over under points in anywhere betting any NHL team, 42 over or under, I'm not giving financial advice. Run and make that bet right now.
Okay.
Because Vancouver was at 58 last year. If they're getting minus 16 down to 42 points,
quick disclaimer, Sean. That's hilarious. This is what BetOnline had them at the beginning of the year. So in other words, they had Vancouver at 90.5 points over under as of July 20th, 25th. So not where Vancouver started.
Okay.
And so they have Vancouver at 74.5, but a great point.
Yeah.
I would take the over on Vancouver if that was the case.
Yeah.
So 74.5 is minus 16. So basically they have Colorado finishing first in the division, Dallas finishing at 100.5. They have the Minnesota Wild finishing at 101.5. That's plus 7 from where they had them July 20th of 2025. So your top three, according to BetOnline, would be Colorado first, Dallas third, and Minnesota coming up second, and Utah would have 96.5 points. They only have Utah up by 4 points from last year, which was 92.5. So kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I look at the division and I look at it this way, where I think Colorado is still probably the favorite coming in the regular season. Until Chicago, I need to see some proof of life on the ice for the Chicago plan. I'll put it that way. Right.
I agree.
That to me is, I'm not putting them into this Central Division mixer the way some other people are right now. So, I think the faceless St. Louis Blues are probably closer to contending than the Chicago Blackhawks right now. And that's no offense to the Blues. It's just a very blah team.
So, yeah. No, that's a good point. Before we let you go, tell us what you got coming up with everything that you do.
Yep. Show tomorrow for Robert and I, Algorithmically Incorrect Hockey, 1:30 Central. We will be live on the YouTube page. We'll also be live on all podcast platforms. Check us out there. I've got, over at Elite Prospects, the scouting season in the year kind of starts kicking off here. I'll be over later this week at the World Junior Summer Showcase games are next week in Windsor, which is about 30 minutes from my house. And so I'll be out in Windsor next week. And the USA team is having their camp this week down at where the Red Wings play, actually. So
nice.
Check, I'll be there covering that this week, keeping an eye on things. Obviously, Saturday is the big Jason Robertson hearing, so that's will be there'll be a lot of eyes and ears tuned to that, and a meeting in a probably in a nondescript hotel conference room somewhere in Toronto.
Sean, I dare say this was a blast for 30 minutes. You kept me on my toes with these lists, and this was an off the cuff episode, and that is awesome. That was a lot of fun. I appreciate
ton of fun, ton of fun. Always look forward to it, Gavin, and I know we've said it a lot, but it's worth mentioning. Just August 11th is going to be a lot of fun. Look forward to seeing a lot of people there.
Yeah, there are going to be drop-bys. It's going to be like crazy off the cuff, and we're just going to wing it. And I think that's one of the best parts of an event. And the best thing is it's going to be interactive. So it's not like it's going to be people sitting behind and you just sit there and watch. We wanted our first one to be completely interactive. So please bring the family. Pictures, you know, whatever you want. If you want to talk about, you know, talk to Sean about something, Robert to something. And by the way, stick tap to Robert on the NHL.com gig. Mm-hmm. He deserves it. The list is pretty awesome. It went from Sean Shapiro to Taylor Baird to now Robert Tiffin covering the Stars for NHL.com. So
Josh Clark in there as well.
Yes, Josh Clark. I'm so sorry, Josh. Stick tap to you as well, my friend. So Sean's got to get out of here. I got to get out of here. Please support Sean and everything he does. Like he said, he's going to be covering all these leagues, and it's really important that you follow and support Sean and all his efforts. Really low monthly subscription, Shapshots. That's his Substack. You can find everything Sean does at Sean Shapiro on Twitter. He writes for D Magazine, Elite Prospects. And as he mentioned, a new episode of Algorithmically Incorrect drops tomorrow with Robert Tiffin. Thanks to Sean. Thanks to our producer, Gregory Finley. Thanks to the on-time experts who are so excited to join you on August 11th. They are an awesome supporter of this program. What an episode we had. Thank you guys so much for your support. Until our next podcast, have a great day, everyone.